Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the podcast ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Jessica Kramus, your host for this series. I'm speaking today with Bob DeWay, Gospel of Grace's teacher and theologian and author of Critical Issues Commentary. So last week we were talking about the true self and the false self. And at the end of that section in your article, which, listeners, is CIC issue 138, which you can get at cicministry.org or on Amazon if you prefer the Kindle edition, you can find it there. At the end of the section in your article, you say this: the true self is somehow connected to their panentheistic version of God. Each author claims that finding this true self is the way to finding God. The process requires contemplative spiritual practices as taught by mystics.
Right.
So that brings us to our next section, false definitions of sin.
Right. And this is really very interesting to me because of my debates with emergent.
Right.
Because there's a lot of similarities between this and emergent.
Okay.
What used to be called Emergent Church, now it's, I don't know what, Convergent?
They have Convergent, but I think it's really just the modern form of theological liberalism.
I conclude the same thing. It's what liberalism looks like now.
Yep.
See, in my day, in the 60s when I was a kid, the liberal church I grew up in, pastors all believed in the goodness of their fellow man, and we just need to try to be good people and make the world a better place to live in.
Uh-huh.
That was theological liberalism. They didn't believe the Bible was true.
Okay.
Well, Emergent has a similar idea, but they've got some very potent Eastern religion to add into it that they'll articulate, and that's this panentheism. God is in everything.
Okay.
Plus the idea of moral and spiritual evolution.
Right.
Okay. So that's what's going on here. They have more to it.
Okay.
This isn't just, oh, we can't know about heaven and hell and there are no miracles. We'll just be good people.
Right.
Which was 1960s liberalism that I heard. Now it's God is in everything and there's this inner divine self to go find. They knew nothing about that in 1960-something, at least in the liberal churches.
Right.
Okay, so this is more seductive.
Okay.
Because the other one, if you looked around, you thought, well, the people that don't go to church at all, they're just as nice as the ones that do.
Right.
In my little farm community.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no reason to even go to church, which I quit as soon as I could get old enough to have a car and head to the golf course.
Yeah.
So now it's got this spiritual component, but it has a false definition of God and therefore a false definition of sin.
Okay.
And that's what that lead-in was about. They think that sin is whatever is restricting or restraining the process of moral and spiritual evolution. And in order to enhance that, we need to each one of us find our true self, which is connected to the ultimate great true self of the universe.
That sounds a whole lot more like Buddhism than Christianity.
It is. And that's why Rohr endorses Ken Wilber, who I wrote a whole chapter about in my book on Emergent. He's a Buddhist philosopher.
Yep.
Okay, so let's look at the biblical definition of sin.
Okay.
Which is harmatia, which is missing the mark. Okay, but there's a real kicker there. In my article, I cite 1 John 3:4. Quote, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness.
Okay.
Now, here is what our listeners really need to know. In Enneagram theology, there's no transcendent lawgiver who has spoken once for all.
Okay.
There is this psychological, spiritual process of excavating the inner divine self.
Right.
So if God says, you shall not steal, and he said it in human words, the transcendent God condescended to speak words,
mm-hmm.
the case on Sinai with Moses, the Ten Commandments, which are written on stone by the finger of God.
Okay.
You shall not steal. So there you have a lawgiver and a meaningful law that means to the person receiving it what God intends it to mean.
Right.
So if I take from someone else what's theirs and not mine, I stole.
Right.
That's sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so John says sin is lawlessness.
Right. And I would say it is something you do.
You do it, and it's clearly defined, and you know what it is.
Right.
And to repent, you quit doing it.
Right.
Ephesians says, let him who steals steal no more, but let him work with his hands so he'd have something to give to the one who has less or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there's actual objective change.
Yeah.
But here, you have a journey. So if you don't have a transcendent lawgiver who's not part and parcel to the problem, which the panentheistic God of these people is,
right,
then you don't have a definition of sin.
Yep. You have to have meaningful words and a definite law to transgress the law.
Exactly. So sin is lawlessness according to the Bible.
Okay. So we have now the biblical definition of sin. How does Rohr define sin?
Here's what he says, quote, root sins are our primary emotional compulsions or mistaken attitudes. Sin means a separation or failure to reach a goal.
Okay.
All right. Failure to reach a goal. So what is the goal?
Right. And who defines what the goal is?
Well, according to them, the goal is to discover our own connection to inner divinity.
Okay.
Through the process of solitude, silence, and stillness, whichever one is prescribed for our triangle. And then there are specific processes based on which of the nine numbers we are to reach that goal. So sin is not reaching the goal. Now, they also like to talk about societal sins or religious sins in a bigger sense.
Okay.
So one of the interesting things that they do that's very perverse is to define this idea in their pantheistic sense of moral and spiritual evolution into some paradise that's going to be here on earth in the future without judgment.
Okay.
So in their definition, sin is anything that restrains or opposes that process of evolution.
Okay.
And I noticed that. I was just reading a theology book where they were talking about the German theology that taught that. So anybody who is a resistor to this process is the really big sinner.
Okay.
So the worst sinners anywhere would be somebody like me who writes an article against it.
Right.
There's hardly a sinner anywhere as bad as me.
Right.
Because I've written against this. I fought against it. I taught against it. I debate against it. And therefore, I'm keeping the process from going forward.
Well, and think about this. If sin is failing to meet the goal, and the goal is finding our inner pristine self through the mystical processes associated with the Enneagram, and you're telling people not to do it, how big of a sinner would that make you? You're stopping people or telling people not to find their true self.
Yeah, what
himself.
I'm telling people to do is to repent of their sin and get reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so it isn't just me. It's the entire gospel that any preacher would preach.
Right.
Which is creating a problem for them.
That's right.
Okay, so that's your false definition of sin.
Okay.
Now, I went down here in my article and sort of laid out the ideas that they have with Enneagram. It's not that they don't believe in sins.
Okay.
They think the sins are caused by shaming messages received in childhood or something else.
Right. We kind of touched on that in a previous episode where
right.
to them, sin comes from outside us right. and happens to us.
Yeah, rather than us being dead sinners in Adam. So from my article, the root sins for Rohr are those on the 9 points of his Enneagram from 1 through 9. Now I'm going to tell you what they are here.
Okay.
Number one, anger. For number two, pride. Number three, untruth. Number four, envy. Number five, avarice. Number six, fear. Number seven, intemperance. Number eight, shamelessness. And number nine, laziness. Those are the nine sins.
Okay.
Each one attached to whatever number you are as your primary sin.
Okay.
Now, the cause of this isn't rebellion against God's law. It's yourself becoming something other than authentic.
Right.
And that's what this looks like. Now, what these are from ancient Roman ideas of the seven vices.
Right.
They added two more so they could get nine.
Okay.
Otherwise, it messes up the Enneagram and the triangles.
Well, and listeners, the Enneagram existed before the nine personality types. They added nine types to an existing Enneagram symbol.
Yeah. It's a conglomeration from various different places.
Right.
Okay.
So they had to come up with nine if they were going to use the Enneagram.
Right. So they have these nine that are identified with certain persons depending on their temperament.
Okay.
But the Bible says that sin causes separation from God, but it's the result of rebellion against God, and it's only resolved through repentance, faith in Christ, and the forgiveness of sins.
Right.
We don't need a process of finding self. We need forgiveness through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus.
Yep.
But they talk about something really weird, okay?
All right.
This is from Rohr, page 201 of his book.
Okay.
About sins, about these nine sins. They separate us from God, from our fellow humans, from the creation, and most of all from ourselves.
How can I be separated from myself?
Yeah, rather than being separated from God because of transgression of his holy law,
right,
I'm separated from myself.
Of course, because in their system, God is within you in a ontological sense, not a relational sense.
Right. The true Godhood is part of everyone. And we're separated from it because of listening to all this stuff.
We've listened to shaming messages.
Shaming messages, evil teachers telling us, study more, try to pass a test.
Right.
You know, you end up with, works orientation. They got all kinds of dumb stuff, that psychological theory.
Okay.
But the true self is still under there to be found.
Okay.
So your self that you're separated from is that inner pristine Christ-like self that's buried down underneath all this stuff.
And so then rather than being reconciled to God, I need to be reconciled to myself.
Right.
Through their system.
Okay, let me cite something from my article about this, okay?
Okay.
This does not mean appeasing the wrath of God against sin. It means a mystical journey grounded in the Enneagram three triangles of solitude, silence, and stillness to develop virtues to replace the nine sins. Okay, so I listed the nine sins, and then the point is, find out which it is, and then go through whatever your triangle is, and then you get down to this mystical journey to the true self that you've been separated from.
Wow.
So that's what they're teaching.
Okay.
So there you have it. You have nine sins, and you have nine paths, and you got a way to try to find the true self, and that's how you resolve sin. So they have a false definition of sin. And as you hopefully know, dear Christian listeners, if you have a false definition of sin, you're going to have a false version of salvation.
Right.
Because you don't even know what you're saved from.
Or who you need to be reconciled to.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to, again, quote a point from my article here, in case you may just hear this on the podcast, so I want to quote it. I said this, quote, "In fact, the God of which they speak is not transcendent to the creation, not coming in future judgment, where there is an eternal reward for believers and damnation for unbelievers. They see a God who is in everything and part of the whole process.
That reminds me of Emergent and their idea of going out and finding what God is doing and becoming a part of it so you can be a co-recreator with God.
That's a good citation, Jessica, because that's what I said in my book.
Yep.
So, exactly. So you look around, what's God doing? But if you just look at the news, there's all these people that think that they're being virtuous by going along with what they think God is doing, whatever they conceive of God. And they may be out picketing a Christian church that is opposed to abortion.
Right.
They may be throwing rocks through windows opposing some political idea they don't like.
Right.
They may be punching people in the face in the name of God with masks on and then running off into the darkness.
Right.
So you've got all these people who think they're seeing what God's doing and joining it. Now, if you're Mother Teresa, you might have something more generally noble.
Yeah.
Like helping poor people in India.
Right.
I'm not saying everybody's doing some dastardly thing, but they don't have a God who's spoken, so they don't know what God is doing. And the only way to find out is imagine it, and your own sensibilities are going to tell you what you think God is doing.
Right.
And if you believe the Bible, you don't go from your own personal sensibilities and feelings and religious inclinations to what you think God's doing. You know what God said. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yep.
He says that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be preached to all the nations.
Right.
Beginning at Jerusalem, to the apostles, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. So we know what God's called us to do.
Yeah.
We know what God is going to do. Bring judgment and wrath in the future for those who don't repent.
Right.
What he's doing is providence, and providence is everything.
Right. And you that can't includes just, good and evil.
Yeah, so you can't just look around and figure out what God's doing. Dear listeners, we must learn some theology.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to think, oh, that looks good. That sounds good. But it's damnably false. So we have these various ideas about sin and self that have nothing to do with the God of the Bible.
Right.
Now, I quote in my article, Revelation 20:10. So let me be very politically incorrect and quote it in this podcast. All right?
Okay.
Because you may not hear this one in church. I hope you do.
No one sticks this one on a refrigerator magnet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Revelation 20:10. Quote, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, that's the first two thrown in.
Okay.
Later, it says that all those whose names are not in the book of life are going to be joining them.
Right.
Okay, now listen. This true self, false self is wrong. And what I prove in my article is this self is going to continue to exist even if you don't ever know God.
Yep.
And this self, the self of Satan, is an individual self, a fallen angel, but a self. The false prophet, the Antichrist, you have self, they go into hell.
Right.
But they're still self.
Yeah.
They're not merged into paradise. They're thrown into the lake of fire.
Right.
And then later, everyone whose name is not in the book of life will join them there. The redeemed dwell with God in the new heavens and new earth forever.
Okay.
Okay. So self doesn't go anywhere.
No.
Then we have an occultic definition of sin by Rohr here. Sins are fixations that prevent the energy of life, God, love, from flowing freely. In this book, we understand by sin the self-erected blockades that cut us off from God, hence from our own authentic potential. Unquote. Richard Rohr.
Okay, so there's no sin nature, no rebellion against God, just self-erected blockades.
Blockades to our potential.
Wow.
Okay, so we're not finding authentic self, that's sin.
Right.
But we've proven from the Bible the authentic self is dead in Adam.
Yep. So how is this dead self erecting blockades?
Well, the point is, their definition of self is not the biblical definition of the person.
Right.
Whether a sinner or a saint.
Yep.
And their panentheism is not compatible with biblical Christianity. Now, just so you know, I made some statements here that I want to cite. As I read the article, it's the way I want to say it, okay?
Okay.
It would be more honest to reject the Bible outright and admit that he, that is Rohr, thinks that it is in error than to suggest that this pagan viewpoint is Christian.
Right.
Just come out of the woods and tell us, I hate the Christ of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the Word of God because I don't believe it's true. I hate the biblical doctrine of future judgment. And quit pretending to be Christian.
Yep. In all of this, one thing I'm not seeing is two categories. There's no category of those who are still dead in sin and those who have been redeemed. It just seems like there's this whole oneness that we're all in this.
Exactly. Everybody has a number, even if you don't believe in Enneagram.
Right.
They'll say that. Well, you have a number, you just don't know it.
Yeah.
Everybody has a number. And so they want to encompass everybody in this all-encompassing process, and those who won't do it are just stuck in their inauthentic self with no way to find the authentic self.
Right.
And I want to, as we're running out of time here, I want to conclude with a statement. I think it'll make a good conclusion to this podcast.
Okay.
Sin is about wicked rebellion against God and will result in eternal damnation if sinners do not repent, turn to Christ, and find the forgiveness of sins. A mystical journey to find the true self is fallacious.
Amen. That's a good place to wrap this up. For Critical Issues Commentary, this is Jessica Kramus.
And Bob DeWay.
We'll see you next week.
We're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. We want to remind you of Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel.